This is KYUK Public Radio for the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. I'm Greg Kim. After 2 long months, the DMV is open for business. It's been closed while the state found and trained a new employee. She's finally here, and her name is Shauna Dukosis. I walked over to the DMV to talk with Shauna about how eager people are to see her. At 4 o'clock on Monday, the line at the DMV is literally out the door, and it stays that way for a long time. Shauna says she was at the office until 9:30 last night, but she only has one complaint.
Not eating. That was the only hard part of yesterday, was not getting lunch, so at 4:30 when I took my break, I finally got to eat.
She's not required to do any of this overtime work. She says she chooses to.
Because I know people have been waiting for almost 2 months for someone here.
And then she showed up the next day at 8 in the morning with a smile on her face. Asked if she enjoyed her first day, Shauna responds emphatically.
Yes, definitely. I love all of my coworkers, my boss. I like the people out here because I'm from here and I know the people. And it's nice to be welcomed and wanted, and I love it. Absolutely love it.
Asked if she plans to stay at the office until 9 again tonight, she says she hopes she can leave closer to 5. In Bethel, I'm Greg Kim.
Next, on Facebook rumors, Bethel residents may have seen a post in a Facebook group that says Alaska Airlines only allows passengers to check 2 bags on flights between Anchorage and Bethel, that the third must be on standby. That's not true, according to Alaska Airlines. Alaska Airlines will still allow people to check in 3 bags. A spokesman for the company says passengers can be asked to place a 3rd bag on standby, but that's voluntary. Next, on the state budget's impacts on the YK Delta, lawmakers failed to override Governor Mike Dunleavy's line item vetoes last week. Now, as the legislature figures out how to fund vital state programs, organizations in the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta are doing the same. KYUK's Christy Schallenberger reports that the Association of Village Council Presidents is examining alternatives to fund programs like Head Start and public safety.
In the middle of a statewide budget fight, AVCP has some good news. The Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta now has 10 village public safety officers. That's the maximum allowed under state funding. Just a month ago, there were only 6 VPSOs to police 48 villages. To put that in perspective, a recent report says 1 in 3 rural Alaskan communities doesn't have any kind of law enforcement at all. Governor Mike Dunleavy has vetoed $3 million in funding for the VPSO program, in addition to supplemental funding. AVCP had planned to use the supplemental funding to create a program allowing VPSOs to rotate among villages. That's not the only program in danger. The Head Start program for pre-kindergarten students is another one. Dunleavy eliminated state funding, which jeopardizes Head Start's federal matching funds. AVCP has to come up with 20% of the cost. AVCP spokesperson Azara Mohammadi says they're looking at alternatives. That includes a waiver from the federal government and help from Senator Lisa Murkowski. Meanwhile, in education, the University of Alaska's Board of Regents delayed a vote on declaring financial exigency, which allows expedited cost-cutting. The vote is now scheduled for the end of July. In Bethel, I'm Christy Schallenberger.
And finally, in an appearance on Talk of Alaska yesterday, University of Alaska President Jim Johnson continued his push for financial exigency for the university. The UA Board of Regents voted Monday to put off the vote to its next meeting. Alaska Public Media's Wesley Early has more.
In the face of an unprecedented cut from the state, University of Alaska staff, faculty, and students have a high degree of uncertainty about their futures. President Johnson says he isn't getting much clarity from Governor Mike Dunleavy about how to move forward either.
He didn't provide any details, only a commitment to meet with us and work on a solution to this challenge.
One big question facing university officials is whether to declare financial exigency, which would allow a more expedited process for cutting programs and staff, even those with tenure. Johnson says that when the university planned for reductions at the state level, exigency was, quote, definite with a $60 million cut. Governor Mike Dunleavy's budget vetoes cut $135 million from the university system, a cut of around 40% of state funding. The university system has already cut $51 million over the last 4 years, resulting in more than 1,200 layoffs. The budget shortfall has brought up concerns about whether or not the university can maintain its academic accreditation. The Northwest Commission on Colleges and Universities, that's the university's accrediting body, sent a letter to the legislature last week urging an override of the vetoes. Here's Talk of Alaska host Lori Townsend.
President Johnson, how serious is the risk of losing accreditation for the university?
It's I don't believe it is going to happen. That is the, if you will, the last straw.
Callers to the program brought up several proposals for saving money. One suggested that the university was spending a lot of money on buildings that weren't maximizing their uses, such as the Alaska Airlines Center in Anchorage. Johnson countered that the legislature appropriates funds for university buildings, sometimes without a lot of input from university officials.
It is legislators and others who are appropriating for those facilities for their own interests. Often, you know, they meet the interests of the university and students in those communities. But it's not all on us, and we're doing our best with insufficient funds to even operate the facilities that we've been given.
Another caller pointed to the high salaries for administrative staff within the university. Johnson says that employees throughout the UA system haven't had a pay raise in 3 years. He says UA system pay rates are below market value for the jobs. He added that he's donated some of his own salary to a new scholarship fund designed to offset scholarships that haven't been paid out to students due to legislative inaction. While Johnson expects university enrollment to drop in the face of economic uncertainty, he says the university has an obligation to teach students who are currently enrolled in programs.
In order to maintain accreditation, which we strive to do, whether or not we declare financial exigency, that teach-out obligation is there. So students who have enrolled in a program who are majoring in engineering, for example, we have a strong obligation to enable those students to complete their programs.
As talks over program and campus closures continue, one caller asked Johnson what the future of rural campuses looks like.
I think we're the University of Alaska. We're not just the University of the Big Cities. I think we've got to have a strong presence in rural Alaska. What it looks like may be different going forward, but we've got to maintain a strong presence, in particularly in hubs like Bethel and Nome and Dillingham, other communities.
The Board of Regents is set to reconsider declaring financial exigency at its next meeting on July 30th. In Anchorage, I'm Wesley Early.
Thanks for listening to KYUK News. Please send any news tips to news@kyuk.org.